David Bowie from the Outside album No Control to start there. Sounds about right. Some Big Audio Dynamite with E equals MC squared, the Full English Breakfast Show. Never mind life on Mars. Is there life in the clouds above Venus, Sarah?
We don't know, do we? Could be.
The idea that living organisms are floating in the clouds of planet Venus has been put forward by scientists. Astronomers are now considering, after detecting a gas in the atmosphere they can't explain. The gas is phosphine, a molecule made up of one phosphorus atom and three hydrogen atoms. Remind you of chemistry, is it? On Earth, phosphine is associated with life, with microbes living in the guts of animals like penguins or in oxygen-poor environments such as swamps. You can make it industrially, but there are no factories on Venus, obviously, and there are certainly no penguins. A Venusian penguin. So why is the gas there, 50 kilometres up from the planet's surface? Professor Jane Greaves from Carlos University and UK colleagues are asking the question. They've just published a paper in the journal Nature Astronomy detailing their observations of phosphine of Venus, as well as the investigations they've made to try and show the molecule could have a natural, non-biological origin. But for the moment, they're stumped. Given everything we know about Venus and the conditions that exist there, no one has yet been able to describe an abiotic pathway to phosphine, and not in the quantities that have been detected. That means a life source deserves consideration.
Well, it's where women come from.
That explains it.
That explains it.
Through my whole career, I've been interested in the search for life elsewhere in the universe, so I'm just blown away that this is even possible, said Professor Greaves. But so yes, we're genuinely encouraging other people to tell us what we might have missed. Our paper and data are open access. That is how science works. Now, phosphine has a distinctive absorption line that the radio telescopes discern as a wavelength of around 1 millimetre. The gas is observed at mid-latitudes on the planet at roughly 50 to 60 kilometres in altitude. The concentration is small, making up only 10 to 20 parts in every billion atmospheric molecules. But in that context, it's a lot. Now, Venus is not at the top of the list when thinking of life elsewhere in our solar system comes in. Compared to Earth, it's a hellhole. 96% of the atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. It's experienced a runaway greenhouse effect, and surface temperatures are like those in a pizza oven,
well,
over
yeah,
400 degrees
how
Celsius.
How can the hottest planet have life on it?
It's the clouds above. As space probes that have landed on the planet have survived just minutes before breaking up and yet go up 50 kilometres, and it's actually shirt sleeves conditions. So if there really is life on Venus, that's exactly where we might expect to find it. Pop quiz time.
Question number one. Chuck Berry's only UK number one begins, "When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy." What was its title?
My Ding-a-ling.
Very good.
It's banned by the BBC as well.
Question number two. On Leaving the Spice Girls, Mel C teamed up with Bryan Adams to reach number three in the singles chart with which track? Was it A, I Turn to You?
No,
B, Loving You Better?
Yeah, go on. No, or C.
Or C, When You're Gone.
When You're Gone.
No. And finally, the following lyrics are from which song? People stared at the makeup on his face, laughed at his long black hair, his animal grace, the boy in the bright blue jeans, jumped up on the stage and...
Ziggy Stardust, yeah.
Lady Stardust.
Lady Stardust.
Correct.
Yeah. Just had some David Bowie, but, well, don't mind having some more.
We never have too much David Bowie.
Absolutely.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Attention to detail.
Well, it happens.
Get
sometimes.
Them right. Get them absolutely right every time.
Do you say it's a course to nine? Did you say, or do you say it's 9:45?
Well, number one, I'd get the time right to start with. That would be the most important element of
do
my
you
say consideration.
It's 45 minutes past nine.
No, I'd say quarter to.
Yeah, yeah, very yes. good. So here on yes. radio all the time, people say
what, it's the 9:45.
Or it's 58 minutes past nine. I mean, it's 2 minutes to ten, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Well done, okay. Do let's get these things correct most of the time.
Okay.
Markets, better day yesterday. Got a lot of merger activity and also progress on COVID-19 vaccine trials.
Yeah, exactly right. Mega merger Monday boosted investor sentiment, sent stocks high yesterday. Oracle shares jumped 8% on reports the company has beaten Microsoft in the battle for the US operations of TikTok. Immunomedic shares doubled this after Gilead agreed to buy the cancer drug maker for $21 billion. Credit Suisse and UBS registering gains yesterday on reports of a potential tie-up there. Global stocks bounced back after, as you say, a couple of difficult weeks. We know that the true normalization of activity won't occur until a vaccine has been developed and delivered. And investors certainly were pleased with what they heard from the chief executive of Pfizer yesterday, saying it's likely the US will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year end. I mean, that is a strong statement from a major industry figure. So carried a lot of weight and got a lot of people excited about that. Let's hope that comes to fruition. Interesting day for the pound. Pound strengthened a little bit yesterday, despite Boris Johnson facing a rebellion in Parliament over legislation that would override key elements of the withdrawal agreement with the European Union. MPs voted on the internal market bill, and by a majority of 77 passed it or rejected the opposition's plan to throw it out completely. MPs will now look at the detail. Still a number of amendments are expected, but it seems to be making its passage through the Commons. In terms of markets, S&P 500 is up 1.3%, NASDAQ was up 1.9%. Slightly mixed start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 9 points. CAC in Paris down 3 points.
So it said the pound went up because there was opposition to the government's internal markets bill, but has it gone down again since the bill was passed?
Not really. I think it sort of went up because it was probably less of a chance of a rebellion, certainly on the major elements, than perhaps was anticipated at the end of last week, beginning of this week. But still got a long way to go and through the lawyers, etc. But it doesn't seem to have the level of risk around a full government rebellion that was anticipated perhaps a few days ago.
We'll see what happens when it comes back to the House of Commons and they debate that amendment, the Bob Neil amendments, and that could cause a few fireworks.
Yeah, I think it absolutely could, and this is part of the broader picture around the UK's ability to come to a compromise with the European Union to put that all-important trade agreement in place.
I thought Ed Miliband made mincemeat of Boris Johnson yesterday. I wonder if he went out for some fish and chips afterwards.
Well, it's sort of described, you remember the Ed Miliband where he was sort of criticised for how he ate the bacon sandwich. But
so it was a bacon sandwich, I thought it was fish and chips.
Yeah, exactly. He attacked the bacon, he attacked the Prime Minister in the same way as he did the bacon sandwich, apparently.
Yes, okay. Data out of China today looking a lot better. In fact, China is driving the global economic recovery, if anyone is.
It is. China's retail sales have grown for the first time since the coronavirus, adding to hopes that consumer spending will catch up with and add to the broader economic recovery that we've been seeing in the region. Sales rose 0.5% in August compared to the same month last year. Consumer spending has been a weak spot in China's recovery, with shoppers remaining a little bit cautious against the risks of the potential for new outbreaks and a slight pickup in unemployment. It's certainly not the same as you see elsewhere around the world. Before August, retail sales have fallen every month. And we know, of course, it's important retail sales, domestic spending for China increasingly as it makes that transition to a domestic-led economy has to be driven by those retail sales. So a much more important component in terms of their growth profile than they were perhaps a few years ago. China's economy, to remind you, rebounded to growth in the second quarter with 3.2%. It's likely to be the only major region in the world to register growth during the course of this year. That's been driven by industrial production, export growth, property investment, and increasingly hopes around, as I say, the recovery from consumer spending.
How concerned should we be about China's international ambitions?
Well,
in terms of the Belt and Road Initiative, because I mean, if you go, you know, to many parts of the world, they're funding all sorts of things. I mean, they own a lot of ports in Europe. They've pretty much taken over last swathes of Africa. And so, you know, Donald Trump does actually have a point on trade, doesn't he?
He does. Listen, we're seeing a much more aggressive, globalized approach coming through from China and the way in which that they're looking to operate, and as you say, in some regions, looking to dominate. So a change in global dynamics has been taking place. They're using their economic power. China's the world's second largest economy, but catching up pretty fast, particularly these days, with the United States. So eventually will become the world's largest economy. And of course, it's a planned state economy, which means they can use that firepower in an aggressive fashion to meet some of their more global objectives playing out. And to counterbalance that, you do see the arguments coming through from the Trump administration and from the United States. But I think if we were to see a different president in the United States, instead of simply Donald Trump perhaps leading the way, you'd see a much more multilateral approach to dealing with China and its rivalry compared to this current administration.
And I've noticed that quite a few UK politicians, including Ian Duncan Smith, have stood up in the last few days and heavily criticised China's despicable treatment of the Uyghur Muslim minority in China. But I'm just wondering that when push comes to shove and, you know, they go knocking for a trade deal with China, which way are they going to go then?
Well, as always in international diplomacy, it's somewhat of a balancing act that takes place. Yes, there are economic considerations, but there are also broader humanitarian considerations. And the hope is, of course, that you can develop the two of those together. The hope is that if you're having a dialogue, if you're interacting, if you're trading, then you can also have an influence on some of the other aspects of policy that you see in China and perhaps with other countries as well, to try and bring it into line with your perspective on the world.
Have you ever considered a role in the diplomatic service?
I know, well, doing this show with you increasingly requires it, I have to say.
I could see you, you know, our man in Timbuktu or something. That would be that'd be good, wouldn't it? And UBS and Credit Suisse discussing plans for a merger.
Yeah, Bloomberg reporting that the chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are exploring a potential merger. The project, apparently nicknamed Signal, has been discussed with the Swiss finance minister. An agreement could happen by early next year. It's been a difficult time, as you know, for the European banking sector. The headwinds of negative interest rates has played havoc with margins. Coronavirus, of course, leading to a rapid rise in impairments. A deal would create one of Europe's largest banks, but also give them great scope for the elimination of duplicate costs. So you would expect it to result in significant job cuts. Of course, would need regulatory approvals. There will be perhaps some concern over reduced competition. I think it's probably more of an effect domestically, what that means for Switzerland as opposed to globally. Globally, banking, of course, is incredibly competitive, particularly wealth management. But I think if you look at the reports, it certainly adds to the evidence that a wave of banking consolidation is starting to develop in Europe after some tough times. Share prices are down at depressed levels. Book values look pretty cheap, it has to be said. Bringing some of these business models together, creating some scale, probably much needed in a sector, like I say, that's been downtrodden for some time.
I don't know if you've seen this, the Surrey Mirror is reporting that the government's going to take over large parts of Cobham to create a lorry park to prepare for Brexit, including the forced acquisition of many desirable properties, it says here.
I don't know if that is going to be the case. There would be a strong backlash, believe me, if that turned out to be the case.
But it's not very nice reading, is it, the preparations for Brexit, or the lack of them, as is being reported in the press today?
The lack of them is probably the key element to pick up on. The truth is that we're talking about significant changes in the way that businesses operate. They would have to adhere to a wide range of different guidelines that would interfere with the normal operations of their businesses, particularly around the trade barriers, of course, customs duties, certificates that are required, import-export certificates, a range of factors, onerous factors that would create a huge amount of red tape, would make it much more difficult for the free flow of goods and infringe upon, as I say, the activity of many companies. So if they aren't aware of it, they need to be planning for it. Although you could remind everyone, they have had 4 years to plan for this now, and some much needed clarity may also be welcomed by some businesses.
Well, as long as we can still get clotted cream from Devon to Northern Ireland, that's the thing that counts, isn't it, really?
is that the key element we need to worry about?
Apparently.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 128.5. Euro dollar coming in at 118.5. Going to get €1.08 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speaks in the morning, Hank Potson Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Three people have been injured following a road accident on Monday evening. The accident occurred on the Boulevard de Sessola in Nice when two cars collided head-on. Emergency services intervened and police have launched an investigation into the cause of the collision. In other news, due to a sharp spike in COVID-19 infections, the use of hospital beds by coronavirus patients in Marseille is close to saturation. The incident rate has risen to 312 per 100,000 since September, with surgeries being reduced in order to cope with the situation. Meanwhile, the prefect of the Bouches-du-Rhône announced new coronavirus restrictions in the department on Monday. Amongst various measures, the prefect said that wearing a mask will be made compulsory from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. in towns where the incidence rate is greater than 100 cases in 100,000, except for large natural spaces. Gatherings of more than 1,000 people will be banned in those areas which have over 100 cases per 100,000, and people and gatherings of more than 10 people are prohibited on beaches and in public gardens. The Director General of the Regional Health Agency in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region has said that 139 people are in intensive care in the region and 64 intensive care beds are currently available. In Monaco, six new cases of COVID-19 were declared in the Principality on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected by COVID-19 to 177. 39 people are currently being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Disruption to public transport in our region is expected on Thursday after a national day of action was called by several unions. Although full details are not known at this stage, Lignes d'Azur say that the three tram lines in Nice and over 20 bus lines won't be operating on Thursday. In national news, France's economy minister has called for 5G mobile phone services to be rolled out as soon as possible, saying any delay would disadvantage the French market. His comments have angered dozens of MPs who have signed a petition calling for it to be postponed until studies are carried out into the effects on health as well as the environment. Bruno Le Maire insisted that any delay in getting 5G technology up and running would be handing a gift to our enemies and our competitors. It comes as the country gears up to attribute frequencies for the rollout of the mobile telephone network at the end of this month. And finally, the Élysée has said that President Macron will be present at the 17th stage of the Tour de France today. It's taking place between Grenoble and Méribel. President Macron will be present at the finishing line at the end of the 174-kilometre stage.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
I think that's tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
16th stage today.
Oh, I've got it down as today.
Tour de France resumes today after Monday's rest day, with Primoz Roglic looking to extend his lead at the top of the general classification. The Slovenian leads the field by 40 seconds from compatriot Tadej Podagar, with Rigoberto Urán a distant third. Today's 16th stage is 164 kilometres between La Tour du Pin and Villard de Lans and features three tricky climbs. It's set to be a day of consolidation with more difficult challenges later in the week as the race reaches its climax in Paris on Sunday. Football, two games in the English Premier League last night, with Wolves winning 2-0 away at Sheffield United and Chelsea 3-1 winners at Brighton. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Big spending Chelsea have made a winning start to their Premier League campaign as Timo Werner signed from RB Leipzig and his Germany teammate Kai Havertz brought in from Bayer Leverkusen made their debuts at Brighton. Jorginho with a penalty, a superb strike from Reece James and a deflected effort from Kurt Zouma earned Chelsea all 3 points in a 3-1 win. Leandro Trossard scored for the home side. Earlier, Wolverhampton Wanderers opened their season with a 2-0 win at Sheffield United. Raul Jimenez and Roman Saiz each scored in the opening 6 minutes. The Wolves captain, Connor Cody, says boss Nuno Espirito Santo is certainly getting the best out of the team.
Training's very demanding, training's very physical, and it's something where we go in every day wanting to improve and get better, and we know if we listen to him every single day we'll do that. So we don't cry about whenever we come in, we respect him massively, and we know whatever he says is usually right. So it's important we listen to him and keep on getting better.
It looks like Manchester United will fail in their bid to sign Jadon Sancho from Borussia Dortmund. The England winger's been linked with a move to Old Trafford for the past few months. It's understood United can meet the 20-year-old's personal terms, but there's no agreement over a fee. BBC football reporter Simon Stone says United still have other options.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants a wide player. He wants a younger player, someone who'll bring pace to his team. The thing is that if Manchester United get to the deadline and they don't look as though they can get that kind of player in, and obviously Sancho is the standout player in that department, then it may be that they'll look at a more short-term option, maybe a loan, and that's where Bale or Perisic may come into the equation.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
We're after you, apparently.
Are you ready? Well, I told you to watch out for Wolves.
What, just because they beat Sheffield United 2-0?
You wait, that's it.
One swallow does not a summer make, Miss Sly says. Tennis, Andy Murray has been given a wild card to the main draw of the French Open later this month. The 33-year-old hasn't appeared at the event since he lost in the semi-finals to Stan Wawrinka in 2017. He reached the final in 2016. And in Formula One, the FIA is investigating whether a T-shirt worn by Lewis Hamilton at last weekend's Tuscan Grand Prix breached its rules on political statements. Hamilton wore a T-shirt highlighting police brutality in the United States, and the FIA said it would be looking to establish whether the garment constituted a political statement. Hamilton said he wants to raise awareness that people have been killed on the streets.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Maritime in the VAR, the general situation high pressure 1,020 to 1,023 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Now the hot one today, clear skies, light variable winds, top temperatures 28 to 30 degrees, overnight lows 23 degrees on the coast, 21 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, mainly fine, highs of 28 to 30 degrees tomorrow, a little bit cooler on Thursday. Finally,
yes, you stand corrected. Sorry, correct on the plan.
It's okay.
Macron will be hanging around a lot until tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow's routes, which finishes in Maribor, I know extremely well because he used to go up there most years. I've got a friend who lives up near the top, so they'll be going right past her house. So I'll be looking
very
at
her. Very nice. Yeah. Finally, a EuroMillion winner has come forward at the 11th hour to claim £58 million jackpot from a March draw after buying a ticket at the start of lockdown. The winner stands to pocket £58 million. It's a price that had been set to pass the deadline of midnight on Sunday. And yesterday they were saying he still hadn't come forward. But apparently he has now.
Just teasing them.
Yes. Mm. And so they're currently processing the payout for the prize. No further details have been given. And the successful numbers on the ticket bought on the 17th of March were 5, 7, 8, 16, 20, with lucky stars 2 and 12.
Didn't have any of them.
There you go.
Yeah. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc.